All right, how you guys doing? That bio, if you didn't get it, I'm a pretty big deal. All right, that was like all she had to say was this next guy's a pretty big deal. All right, and you guys would have figured out the rest. How's everybody doing? Well, good. So retreat started yesterday. Is that right? Okay. Where's everyone from? North what? Wait, how did you say North what? What's that? Oh, nice. I see what you're, the hipsters, man. Here's a question. So how many people, I've done some retreats here before or things, like how many people have I done one that you've been at? Okay, so a lot of you. And it was pretty awesome then, right? All right, so you know today's going to be pretty good, all right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to forego doing a game today. Sometimes I start with the game, but I saw whoever was up here was stealing my favorite game. So I don't want to redo that. But let's start with a prayer, and we'll go from there. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to come and bless this time. Lord, I ask that you would move powerfully on this retreat. I pray especially for these women, that you would call them deeper into love with you, that you'd equip them, that you'd inspire them this weekend, that you'd surprise them, that you'd renew them. I pray that not just through talks, but you know, through the sacraments, through community, even through the dumb things we do this weekend, the fun and the food, all that stuff, we'd be drawn to you over and over again. We place these next few minutes in your hand. We ask that you would come and that you would speak. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so those of you guys who I have met before on a retreat or something of the like, it's good to be back with you. Those who have not met yet, it's nice to meet you. Maybe at some point we'll have a chance to chat, but probably not today. I got to run over to the guys after this. But just a little about me besides the weird facts was just like I live like not real far from here in Steubenville. Who said they're from Steubenville? Or a couple people from Steubenville? Okay. Right. So you know there's a lot to love there. That's where I'm coming from. I got a wife and 7 kids. So I just got to put that out there right in the beginning so no one's looking at me with like dreamy eyes. Like I'm married and I'm bald and bow-legged if you haven't noticed that yet. So if the married thing didn't keep you away, just my looks should keep you away. But anyway, yeah, that's my life. I have some kids that are a little older, teenagers, and I basically hate them. And then I have some young kids too. So I got a lot of kids. I know a lot of people in here have maybe not a lot of kids, but a lot of siblings. So you get it. Life can be crazy. It could be good. It could be crazy good. But it could be crazy weird in a family and all those things. But it's good, man. You know, families draw us to God. You know, and we realize real quick that you know life isn't perfect. It's messy, but that's the kind of God we serve, that he stepped into messiness. So Duke and Altum, I got this Duke and Altum tattoo for today. I didn't really get it for today, but I did happen to have, I saw the retreat theme, I was like, oh, that's awesome, I have a tattoo that says that. So that's always convenient. But I did look, you know, I was talking a little bit earlier in the week with some people put on the retreat, and I saw that, you know, some of the talks and some of the themes and et cetera, that you are doing during the week, during the weekend, I'm sorry. One of the ones that caught my eye was a talk that I was not giving, which is always weird, like when, like, they're like, here's the talks, and you're like, oh, those are good ones, and then you get one, you're like, oh, I wish I had the other one, but, so I'm not going to give that one, but it was talking about identity, and so I just want to start, like, with this little story, and because it leads into where I think we're going to go for the next few minutes. So I have 5 boys, and 2 girls. They're cute boys, all right? So maybe someday you'll meet them and fall in love. But for now, just imagine they're cute, all right? And so, so my one son, when I tell stories about him all the time. His name's Toby. If you were at something before that I did, I'm sure you heard a Toby story. But he's just like a little weird, like compared to the rest of the kids, you know, like. I always say, like, you know, like when we were little, like we'd be outside, like, you know, kicking a soccer ball and all of us. And then Toby would be like on the other side of the yard, like rubbing a tree, like, you know, it's just he's super weird. And one day, if you're from around here, we were going to Austin Lake, which is a lake. We on the way there, my son Toby had. And like I think we, like I don't know we were probably trying to do a Decade of the Rosary or whatever, which always ends up bad at my house. Like I feel like further away from God by the time we're done like a decade, because we're fighting so much and I'm strangling my kids by the end. And but anyway, we were like trying to do something. And so at the end, Toby like said he said he said something along the lines of like, I have a new name, you know. And we're like, what is it? And he said, Jesus. and I thought it was funny, right? Like, you think, oh, that's funny. You know, he's a little kid. Like, he was probably, like, I don't know, 5, 6-ish, you know, 7, something around there. And so my wife, like, she didn't think it was funny. She's like, no, Toby, we're not calling you that. And I was like, I'll call you that. I think it's hilarious, you know. So for the rest of the day, I tried to make an effort to, you know, we stopped at McDonald's after. I was like, what does Jesus want for, what's Jesus want for lunch? You know, he's like, nuggets, you know. so it was funny, like it was humorous or whatever. But later that night, we were watching like a Spider-Man movie. I don't know which one it was. There's so many of those stupid comic book movies now. But it was one of the Spider-Man movies. And at the end of it, he makes another announcement. He says, I have a new name. Yeah, what is it? Spider-Man. Yeah. And like what I think is funny about that story is like it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like us, you know, just this idea of identity is like a core issue in our life, you know, just like, who am I? And like what Toby was doing there, you could follow it pretty easily. Like when he saw that like one person was like, that was important, oh, the whole family was focused on Jesus, he was like, oh, that's who I am. I want to be Jesus. You know, when it's Spider-Man, I want to be Spider-Man. You know, like if it was SpongeBob, he doesn't care. He just wanted to be like whoever was getting the attention at the time. My kids have this book, you know, that I was reading to my youngest, like 6 the other day. And it's like, I was having him read or something. It's a, you know, it's a dumb book when it has like 3 words on each page or something. the whole, you probably even know this one. It's called like, Are You My Mama? You know what I'm talking about? All right. So the book goes pretty much like this. Like there's like a bird. And somehow, I don't know, you don't really hear the backstory, but he's separated from his mama. And, you know, so he asks a pig or something, like, are you my mama? And the pig's like, I'm not your mama, you know? And then, like, he walks away, and then he asks, like, a snake, are you my mama? And the snake's like, you know, I'm not your mama. So, like, he goes through the whole thing, and, you know, surprise, surprise, at the end, he finds his mama, and he's like, oh, I'm a bird, you know? He doesn't know who he is, but, like, that's a very, like, That's a very deep story. If you actually, like, I know it's dumb, the words are limited, and it's, you know, it's like 10 pages long, but that is like an allegory for, like, humanity. You know what I mean? It's like, we're just trying to figure out, like, who am I? You know, like, that's really, like, I think if you ask someone who is old, like, a substantial part of their life, especially if you don't know God, but even if we do know God, like a substantial part of our life is just trying to figure out, like, who the heck am I? You know, like, why am I here? Who am I? You know, who's Bob? What makes me lovable? Like, what's you know, what's the deal? You know, St. Francis, which this kind of makes me feel better, you know, like, because those first two stories are kind of silly, but, you know, St. Francis, I'm sure you might have even heard this story before, but, you know, he there's this whole story that, like, this guy, I think it was like Burn Nerd or something, but I don't know. But it was like a brother or something. He wanted to know. He had heard that, like, you know, all these rumors about Francis, like at nighttime he stayed up all night and prayed, or he floated, or he did, you know, he did like weird stuff at night. And so he wanted to like see what happens, you know, when we go to bed, like what does Francis do? And so he like pretended to be asleep. He was in the same cell as Francis, and so he pretended to be asleep, and then like he watched Francis got out of bed. And he knelt down in front of a cross, and you know, he just kept saying all night long, "Who are you, God, and who am I? Who are you, and who am I?" You know, like that story, like to me, like it kind of encapsulates like what we're talking about, and it makes me feel good, honestly. Like this is Saint Francis, like one of the holiest, you know, saints that we talk about. He had the stigmata. I mean, like an amazing saint, and he's asking the basic question, like, "Who am I?" Like, you think, like, oh, dude, he's, like, when I think of, like, spiritual greats, I always think, like, they're probably pondering, like, something I couldn't even, like, understand. You know, they're like, so deep in this thing that, like, you know, but here's St. Francis. He's just like, who are you, God? You know, it's, like, the most basic question. You know, who are you and who am I? Like, those two questions really, I think, are going to be the main questions of your entire life, you know. And so, one, you should feel okay to wrestle with those and just be like, I don't know. There's going to be times where you feel like you know God and you feel close to God. There's going to be times where you feel far from God. You don't know who God is. That's okay. I mean, obviously, the saints did that. The author of Who's My Mama felt like that, you know. Like, if they could feel like that, we could feel like that. But what I want to kind of transition here is I don't want to give the identity talk, even though I wish I was giving the identity talk. The question of identity is, like, so important that it will cause us to be like the Who's My Mom. It will cause us to be like Toby was, you know, I'm Jesus, I'm Spider-Man. You know, like, a lot of people, they just waste their whole life, like, oh, this is who I am. I'm a weightlifter. This is who I am. I'm a tattoo guy. This is, you know, who I am. I'm a powerful businessman. This is who I am. You know, like, girls love me, or what, like, not you guys, but like, I'm just like sharing from me, like, you know, like people just find stuff to like cling to as their identity, and then before they know it, they're dead. You know, they're like, oh, this is who I am. I have a big retirement, I have a lake house, you know, I have whatever, and then you're dead, and you just have never like settled on who am I. So you have the opportunity, I think, being young, there's no greater gift like that. Like, some point, you know, this weekend, hopefully you just stop and thank God, like, man, who am I, God, that, like, you broke into my life in some way. I'm here on this retreat. I'm not saying that everyone here is perfect, but it's cool that you're here. You know what I mean? Like, God's obviously doing something. I mean, that's an amazing gift. So if you could come around, like, that idea of identity, and even in some kind of way, like, you know, like that you're God, so you belong to God, you're a daughter of the King, like, then you have a head start of like more than, you know, most humans on the earth. But the problem is, and this is where I'm going to get into this relationship thing, the problem is like, we're so forgetful. Like, you would think something like as basic as like, oh, this is who I am, like, we wouldn't forget that, or something as basic as like, this is who God is, you know, that we wouldn't forget. But one of the things I'm trying to do this year is read the Bible, like read the whole Bible. Like, there's this Bible, read the Bible in a year. And so I've been doing that every day. You know, it's like certain readings from the Old Testament, certain readings from the New Testament. And it's actually pretty awesome, because I've never done that like in one year. but one of the things, like, I'm realizing, I've thought about this before, but it's like really, it's pretty wild to think about is, you know, I think a lot of us in here, like when we hear stories, whether it's from the Old Testament or, you know, like Fatima or a saint or maybe even a friend who's experienced a miracle, like, there's a part of us that's always like, man, if I experience a miracle, like, I would never doubt again. I would never question, like, I would know that God is God. I would know, like, who I am. Like, you know, what if right now I was like, guys, this is how powerful God is. Check this out. And I, you know, shot flames out of my fingers and rose up. And I was like, look, let's all praise God. You know, like, you'd be like, whoa, this is so cool. But, like, if you look in the Old Testament, like, it didn't matter. The Israelites saw God do the craziest things. They saw Moses do crazy things, tap water, rock him, it rained down bread, you know, he parted the sea, you know, like the ocean split in front of them. There was a giant wall of flames that led them as they walked through the night. There was a cloud, you know, all these plagues, all these weird, crazy miracles, like not little. And what happens? Like Moses goes off for a few days to pray, and they like melt their jewelry into like a cow. You know, but seriously, like think how weird that is. Like this is not people. They're like, well, you know, give them a break. They didn't know God. You know, like maybe they didn't know God, but they saw some of the craziest miracles. It just still wasn't enough. It didn't matter. You know, I've talked to people, a friend of mine, their family experienced like an amazing, amazing miracle. Like their father was paralyzed. He had like 60 surgeries. He had a lung taken out of his chest, scars everywhere. And he had this amazing healing one night, like where like one of his 9-year-old son prayed with him. And the next day, like wasn't completely healed. Not a scar. He had both lungs in his chest. Like this is a good friend of mine. This isn't like a story of a story. Like this is legit, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, right? And so I asked my friend Jim, I was like, are your siblings, like, are they all still close? And he's like, no, none of them go to church. Like I'm the only one, who like still follows God. You know, you're like, what? Now you just think like, dude, if you would experience it, like how would you ever doubt it? But it's just because like we're like such a forgetful people. Like, you know, like God does good stuff for, I mean, you look outside, it's like, God, all that's for you. You know, but like we just forget, you know, because we get sad or we get stressed or whatever it is, and we just forget like, oh, this is who I am, or this is who God is. Like, you know, it wouldn't matter if you saw miracles. Like, so like even if God himself branded you like on your, you know, body, like this is who you are, and you like have this mark, like I know who I am, God branded me, you know, I will always see this. It's still, I believe, like wouldn't be enough, because it's just like the proof is in like how salvation history has happened. The one thing, the one thing that reminds us, and the one thing that we can cling to, and the one thing that keeps bringing us back, like really your only hope is what I'm trying to say, is relationship. You know, miracles, we forget about them. They fade away. Did that really happen? You know, whatever. Stories of miracles, you know, like all that stuff that is so big and wow. And it's just the one thing that reminds us of who we are is a relationship. So I'm married. I've been married for 20 years. I know I mentioned in the beginning that I'm married, but you know, that for me is a constant reminder of who I am. You know, like I don't forget that, like, oh, I'm a husband, I'm a father, because every day I have a relationship with my wife. You know, like we talk, we're a part of each other's life. You know, it's like a constant reminder. Like it's not like I like ever forget, like, oh, where do I go after work, or who, like I know know, you know, my wife. You know, it's like we talk, we kiss, we eat together, we do all that stuff, and it's like not a hard like thing to remember, because you have this real relationship. And so I want you to just consider just for a couple minutes here, your relationship with God. Now I know that's like a very retreaty kind of thing to do. Like, where's your relationship with God? Put a number on it, or like share about it, or whatever. And I think that's all good. But like, I just want you to think, like, what is your relationship with God like? Because it's more than just like you have it or you don't have it. I think we make some excuses and we make some like caveats for a relationship with God, because like we just don't see God. Like I'm seeing Christine right now. You know, like I don't look in God's eyes physically. You know, I don't touch God. I mean, the Eucharist, yes, but you know, it's not the same. You know, like, so like there's like that reality, which is like kind of weird. And so we give ourselves excuses. Like if we would treat God, or we would treat a friend or a boyfriend the way that we treated God, like think if that person would still be with you, or that friend would still be a friend. You know, for most of the church, I'm not saying necessarily you. I don't know you. But, you know, most of the church, you know, they show up and, you know, do the little knee bend once a week, you know, sit in the pew like this. You know, like, if you did that, like, to your friend, like, you saw him once a week and you just sat like this and you fell asleep and you didn't talk to him at all, you just let them talk. I mean, like, that would be a bad relationship, you know. But a lot of times we make excuses because, like, well, God understands. I'll just mumble a prayer as I fall asleep. He understands. I mean, yeah, maybe he understands, but it doesn't mean that, like, that relationship is real. So I want to walk you through just a couple levels of relationship in the scripture, and I'd like you to just kind of consider, if you break after this chat, whatever, in small groups or however you're breaking that down, like, just some of this, like, where are you in these levels of relationship? Okay, so the first thing we see, I think, for one of the first images we think about when we think about God, or at least I would say a level of relationship, is, like, you know, the potter. You ever hear that scripture? I'm the potter, you the clay. You know, talking about, there's, like, a song and whatever. But, like, you know, it's like, it's basically just this idea. You know, it's beautiful. You know, the potter's hands is forming us, and all our imperfections are melting into his hand. And, you know, like, it's cool. Like, I get what he's saying there, and it's beautiful to give our lives to God. But it's still kind of weird. You're just clay. You know what I mean? You're like a pot. I mean, even if you're like a really beautiful pot, like, that's who you are. You know, and we feel like that a lot of times. You know, like, God is way up here. He's infinite. And, like, compared to God, we're just like a stupid bowl or something, you know, like, you know, like, and I understand that, like, it's not, this is a scriptural image. I'm not saying it's a stupid image, but, like, it's very easy to feel like that, you know, like, but there's not a lot of, there is a relationship between a potter and his clay, but it's not like a relationship like we have with a friend, you know. So there's that relationship, and it's pretty passive on the part of the clay. Obviously, clay's just on the wheel, and it's being spun around and smushed or whatever a potter does. And then the next one I would say there is the relationship. You know, we see a lot of times the statue or the painting of, you know, the Good Shepherd. You know, I'm the shepherd. You know, I care for my sheep. You know, I'll go after the one. You know, the sheep know my voice. You know, all that kind of stuff. And again, it's beautiful, you know, to picture God with this lamb holding this little, you know, like, little lamb here. And to picture that's us. You know, and that's a major upgrade, because at least we're something that's alive in this level. You know, but lambs. Again, there's it's not quite as passive as a lump of clay, you know. But lambs, like, if you like read about lambs, like, they're pretty dumb. Like, he's talking about, like, all these images of them running off and having to do this and then, you know. But, like, they're it's just it's a lot of instinct, and they're kind of dumb. Like, but still, there's some level of intimacy, as God holds us as a lamb, as God seeks us as a lamb, as God cares for us as a lamb. It's not a horrible. All of these things are levels of relationship. Okay, so maybe you see yourself there. after that, I would think that the next step would be the relationship of a slave and a master. Now, I know, like, we think about. I mean, slavery, it's horrible, all that kind of stuff, you know. But, like, it's we see many images of like slaves in the scripture, and he says, you know, no slave can serve two masters. You know, Jesus does talk at some point, like, and there's even some, like, metaphorical things, like, in the Old Testament, like, just with that we serve God, you know, that we are a slave to God. Now, again, it's another upgrade. You're at least a human here, you know, and there is some relationship. We're doing things for God. And I think a lot of people stop right here, you know, like, my relationship with God consists of me doing stuff for God. Okay, now, I've worked, like, all I've ever done, like, since I graduated college was, like, work in the church. Okay, so, like, whether it was working in parishes, working in an inner city thing, you know, now I work at Franciscan. But, you know, all these things, like, you're doing a lot of stuff for God, you know. But I've met a lot of people, like, over the course of the last 20 years that I think, they do a lot of stuff for God, but, like, I'm not sure if they really know God. And there's been times in my life where I'm doing a lot of stuff for God and my relationship with God is not great, you know. But that's an easy thing to look at a relationship like that. Well, I'm a slave, you know. I'm a worker bee for God, you know. Like he's looking down at all these, like, you know, carpenter ants or whatever, just for him. Here we go. I'm doing work for you, God. Like, and we in our minds, like, we think, well, that must be what he wants. Like, I'm checking the box. I did this. I prayed these three things you wanted, and I helped volunteer at this, you know. Like, and we do those things, but again, that is a relationship, and those things aren't worthless. But let me put it in like the state of me and my wife. Like if I, with my wife, I told you guys, you like, tell me about your relationship with your wife. And be like, dude, I love her so much. Like just today I got up early. I made breakfast. I cleaned the house. I went outside and I chopped some wood. And you know, like I told you stuff like that, like it's sweet. Like you're like, oh, that's really wild. You really do love, but it doesn't mean I have a good relationship. I can do all that stuff, like clean the house and chop wood and stuff. That doesn't tell you one thing about whether we have a good relationship. It just shows you like I love her, you know. So a lot of us could stop there. Let's do stuff for God. Even the prayer thing. Like let's do these prayers, and you know, it's like a check thing because we're obliged at his servants. after that, I think we graduate to what most of us would see as like the top, you know, a friendship with God. Now, I was talking about the Israelites, you know, like you see Moses, it says in Genesis that Moses would talk to God as a friend, as one man talked to another man. I mean, it just seems so cool, you know, that like Moses, you know, would go up to the mountain, you know, and they would see the mountain glow, and he would talk to God as one man would talk to another man who's his friend. You know, that seems so awesome. You know, like I long for that. You know, I try and think of my prayer time like that. You know, but God, it says in the New Testament, Jesus says, "I no longer call you slaves, but friend." You know, and we see that the way he loved his apostles, you know, like there's this opportunity that like not only can we be this clay or the sheep or the servant, but like we could be a friend of God. I mean, like that's mind blowing, you know, like compared to like people in the Old Testament, you know, like Moses begged to see God's face. And Moses said, like, I can't show you my face, but what he says is like, you stay here in this rock. All right. And I'm going to keep your face down in the rock, like, because it says there's a cleft in the rock. And he says, but I can't let you see my face, but I'll walk by you. And after I walk by you, I'll tell you, you can look up and see my back, you know, and that will be almost too much for you to live. You know, so Moses does this, and the people can't even look at Moses because like he's seen the back of God. Moses himself had to wear a veil over his face. You know, like that's that kind of like intimacy, like a friendship that like we're being invited to be a friend with the infinite God of the universe. Here, me, this Bob Lesniewski, you know, down here. Like, why would God care? You know, and so for a lot of us, I think that's what we're shooting for. Our whole life, it's like, if I can get to that, if I can get to this friendship, and maybe some of you guys feel like you're there right now. I think that is the level of relationship that we aspire for and that we want, and it's good. And that is, and any of these things, like if they're ongoing relationships, are going to continue to remind us of our identity. But as you see, you know, as you grow in relationship with someone, you start to learn more about each other. Like as you go through these progress through these levels of relationship, you realize, man, I'm more than clay. Like I'm more than that with God. You know, yes, He cares for me, informs me like that, but like I mean more to Him than that. So you know, it progresses, and so there's actually one more level that a lot of times like we never even consider. But if you read the stories of the great mystics, the great saints, like this is where they end up. And this is where all of us will end up in heaven, is that we can be the lover of God. Like we can be lovers. Now, it's easier to share this with the girls and the guys. Like not that like guys don't want to be lovers too, but like, you know, I don't know. It just doesn't sound like to a guy, it doesn't sound like quite as appealing. Like it always sounds weird. Like you're like, God wants to be your lover, you know, but like, but I'm not saying like, you know, God wants to make out with you, you know, like it's just weird to think about like a lover outside of like making out or something, you know, like, and it's so it is weird. It's like, well, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean? Like, I want to be my lover, you know, because we just think about it in a very bodily, sexual way. but like, if you look at Song of Songs, like, you know, it's a pretty wild scripture. Like, you look at that and you're like, whoa. And that is a lot. Like, there are some bizarre descriptions of a husband and a wife in that book that not bizarre as in bad, just bizarre as in like, you know, make you sweat a little bit. Like you read that thing, but the reason that's in there, okay, because like we could have just said, oh, let's not put this book in there. It's kind of weird. But like the reason that's in there is it's saying like, dude, God wants this level of intimacy with you. Like, there's a level of intimacy that two lovers share, okay? Like, you know, I told you I'm married with my wife. You know, like, I tell you stories about, you know, my kids and stuff. I don't tell you stories about making out with my wife. You know what I mean? Like, those are stories that, like, we share, that are intimate, that only we know about each other. You know, my wife is the only woman, you know, that I've ever been that intimate with in my life, and I'm the only man that she's, you know, ever been that intimate with. And there's something there that is it's just so, there is like a veil of the sacredness of like, this is, you know, we know each other in a way that no one else will ever know us, you know. And that's what God is talking about when he's saying, like, he invites you to be his lover. Like, God wants to know you in such an intimate way that no one else, like, well, you wouldn't understand. You know, God understands. He knows me. He sees me. Like, he satisfies that desire in me to be known. You know, like, that's part of, like, our desire for marriage and sex. Like, those things, like, we desire to be known intimately, like, no one else. You know, like, and in the same way, you know, God is saying, like, I want to know you like no one else knows you. I want you to know me like no one else knows me. You know, like that we have a special relationship, that we talk to each other differently than we talk to everyone else, that we laugh about different things and we laugh about with other people. Like, all those things is what God wants, you know, for you and him. But it doesn't just come with saying like, all right, let's be lovers. Like, it just comes with time. You know, and I think sometimes we get frustrated in our relationship with God because we're like, well, what the heck is going on? Like, why aren't we like at that point yet? I mean, some of you guys have been going to church your whole life. You've never missed a Sunday Mass, and you could be 18 years old in here, you know, like, and you've never missed Mass. And there's a part of you that maybe is like, well, what the heck? Like, why aren't I there? And maybe some of you are there. But like, the thing I always say is like, we've got to be patient with each other. You know, like we're patient with babies, right? Like, we don't expect a baby when a baby's 4 years old to say like, we've been doing this for 4 years. Like, you don't understand like what I'm getting at here. Like, you don't understand. Like, I'm trying to tell you. Like, you keep going. You know, like, but they still barely understand language. You know, at four, even at 10. You know, it's not like we sit down with a 10-year-old and talk about, like, you know, philosophy or politics or, you know, like, it's still very limited. The discussion, the relationship in some ways is limited, you know, even at 10 years old. So it's maybe you've been doing this for 10 years and you're like, man, it's still pretty limited. Like, that's okay. That's normal. Like, my daughter, my oldest daughter is 19, and, you know, like, I feel like we're just now having some of like the best discussions and, you know, times together like that we've had in her whole life, because that's normal. It takes time to learn to talk, to learn to listen, to learn to understand, to learn to be intimate. And so you've got to be patient. This is a lifelong thing, but this is the only way that you remember the identity thing. Without that, like, we're like one of those, you ever see those like robot vacuum cleaners that just like kind of move around the room, but yeah, until they like hit into something, and then they just go another direction until they hit into something. Like, that's how we are when we don't know our identity. Honest to God, like, this is how most of the world lives their life. They wake up and they try and head towards something that they think is going to make them happy, and when they hit a dead end, they just go in another direction. You know, but like with God, when we can know our identity, like we're headed in a direction that is constantly leading to fulfillment. It's a hard road, but like, as soon as we forget our identity, like, we just go off. And so I'm just telling you, like, don't seek out like the miracles or this or that. You know, like really, like what we're seeking out is just relationship. That's the thing that keeps us pointed to our identity. And with this image, so this is one more. Like I told you that just. I've kind of been blown away about like reading the Old Testament and stuff like that, but like there's this thing now. I'm in Leviticus, which is another weird book. I was just telling my wife this morning, like, man, why did they put this in there? Like, it's so like weird and dumb. Like, there's like so many things. Like, and then they shall take a scarlet piece of wood, you know, and you know, put it underneath the. It's just like all these like complicated directions about how to like make the tent and, you know, how to make a sacrifice and if Aaron is sick that day to stand on his head and, you know, put a lamb, you know. On, oh, this morning I was saying, you know, like Moses should take like a drop of, this is so funny, take a drop of ox blood and touch it to the great toe of Aaron's right foot. You know, you're like, man, I mean, do we really need to hear all this? You know, like, I'm not saying that it's like fake or anything, but it's just weird, and I don't know, like, why I'm reading it, but I read it anyway. And the point of all this is, like, they do all this stuff, all this, like, amazing ritual, and they have this tent outside of the village. It was called, like, the Tent of the Holy or something like that. Maybe it was the Holy. I don't remember what the name was, but it was a tent, all right? And that's where God's presence was. Like, God would dwell in the tent. And Moses, say, when Moses would go out to the tent to spend time with God every day, everyone would come out of their tent and face Moses until he walked into the tent and spent time with God, and they all just stood outside until he was done, and he'd come out, they would go back about their work. Like, it was that big of a deal. Like, that's how close they were allowed to get to God, that they could watch Moses go into this tent and pray with God. So at that time, like, if you wanted a relationship with God, like, you had to tell Moses, hey, tell God this, you know, like, man, I have some heartburn, like, and I could really use a helper. Tell God, you know, I feel really bad about, you know, these things I said yesterday. You know, like, it's like you're basically just telling, like, the one holy guy who gets to talk to God. And even when they go in, like, it did all these crazy things, like, you know, they tied a rope around, you know, Moses, so in case he would see God's face, they would just pull out his dead body. I mean, like, that's, like, God was so powerful that only one person got to see him. And he would offer these sacrifices on behalf of everyone. So he'd be like, look, everyone messed up. You know, Joe did this, and so-and-so had a bad thought. And, you know, and here we're going to give you this lamb on this altar to offer to you. And I'm not even going to look at you. But, like, thank you for hearing us, and thank you for forgiving us. Like, that was, like, the extent of relationship back then. And I want you to think of, like, how far things are different, like, when Christ came. Like, we have the opportunity not only to go into a tent, each one of us, to go into a tent, you know, a building of the holies, you know, a church every day if we want. Not only can we look at God, but we get to eat God. Like, you know, like, think how crazy it would be if you told these guys, like, oh, hey, actually, God is going to allow us all to come into the tent, and he's going to allow us to eat him. You know, like, it just is so far removed from, like, what, you know, like, what they knew as possible relationship with God, and you have that opportunity today, you know. And so I just would ask that, like, as you go into your small groups, they just think about those couple things. Like, where are you on those levels of relationship? Where do you kind of see yourself when you think about you and God? It's the clay, the lamb, the slave, the friend, the lover. And then, you know, like, how often do we take for granted the sacraments, you know, that we're invited in, which for all this time in the history of humanity, no one was even allowed close. And you're allowed to the most innermost chamber, the throne room of God. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Dear Jesus, thanks for wanting a relationship with us. We're weird and we're dumb and we're forgetful most of the time. And we do the opposite of the things we want or you want. And I don't even know why you're so patient with us, Lord. But we thank you that you continue to seek us out. We thank you that you continue to give us second chances. We thank you that you want to be close to us. Lord, I pray that you would make us aware of that desire of your heart this weekend. that we would be overwhelmed with just this desire that you have for us, and that that would move us to want more, that move us to want to go deeper, that it move us to want a relationship that roots us in our identity with you. Please bless the rest of this day. Keep speaking to us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks, ladies, for letting me be with you.